Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
So, Mr. Attorney General, it's more with sorrow than regret than anger that I would say that you leave me no alternative but to join those that call upon you to resign your office.
Sincerely.
It is the Savage Nation. Calling for Holder to resign is the equivalent of asking Madonna to stop burying herself in Turkey. Welcome to the Savage Nation. It's like asking Mick Jagger to suddenly grow up and become 40. It's like asking Bonnie Frank to go on a weight loss diet. Asking Eric Holder to step down on his own volition is the equivalent of asking Obama to stop fundraising. Asking Eric Holder to step down on his own volition for crimes against the people is the equivalent of, you fill in the blank, welcome to the Savage Nation. It's just not going to happen. These people will have to be dragged out. They are never wrong. You have to understand how psychosis works. In order to understand how psychosis works, you have to be in talk radio to study the psychotics who run the government. You know, that should be another symbol shot. Now, yesterday, the news is so big today that I feel like saying I have to interrupt irregular programming to go back to regular political programming, because normally I do irregular programming, such as yesterday's show on molestation and men who were molested as boys. I received phenomenal listener commentary. I never get it. I never see it, really. But there's a few close people around me who send me emails from time to time. They're all saying this was one of the most stunning shows they've ever heard, going back to Friday with that spiritual show. And I know people tend to like me to pull the rabbit out of the hat. Can't do it every day. Can be done very, very seldomly. But, you know, the Sandusky and McQueary child molestation scandal at Penn State, they're both innocent, by the way, at this time, has provoked an awful lot of thinking about these issues. But when you look at the news today, you have to ask yourself, is this scandal with Eric Holder bigger than Watergate? And if it is, why? If it is not, why not? I think it's bigger than Watergate, and I'll tell you why in a minute. I believe the Attorney General of the United States should step down for a number of reasons, because the scandals surrounding him, the guns to Mexico, the killing of a border agent, the cover-up of the killings at the border, the cover-up of national security leaks to the New York Times, an old Stalinist rag, these are very serious issues. And the fact of the matter is, I believe that the impact of both of these scandals will be greater, if not already, than Watergate ever was. So if you'd like to comment on this, okay. If you want to continue on yesterday's theme of were you molested as a boy and how did it affect you, 1-800-449-8255. If you'd like to talk about any other topic that's in the news, deficit has doubled in a year. George Zimmerman's wife has been arrested on a perjury charge. Obviously, they're throwing the book at them, even if they're innocent. They're now, they've already been crucified by the media. And then yet we read that Obama's losing support among black voters, white support's cracking, Jewish support in New York dropped 22% in 1 month, union members are bailing, ex-Clinton advisors are warning of impossible headwind for Dems. I'm not so sure. And the reason I'm not so sure that Obama's going to lose is because Romney is doing such a middle-of-the-road turtle campaign. I don't know how he can excite those who are supposed to come out to vote for him. So, you know, I want to throw in another question that's been on my mind for 3 days, that if I were to do a regular a radio show, the normal, you know, regular radio show that you hear today, here's what I would ask you, because I'm very curious about it. I think you will be too. Have you made up your mind as to who you're going to vote for, yes or no, and if so, why? And that means, yes, you're going to vote for Romney and why, or yes, I'm going to vote for Obama and why, or no, I don't know yet. Now, what do you mean you don't know yet? What are you waiting to happen? You know who Obama is. You know he's the most corrupt. You know he's also the most fanatical. You know he's also the most divisive. You also know he's clearly, you want to say socialist. I go further because if you look at his history, socialist. He's a hardcore Marxist, period. Yet the average American is so stupid. Pay attention to a Marxist in the White House. So if you want to comment on a simple question, fine. But is the Holder issue, is Eric Holder's scandals fast and furious? After all, who oversaw the running of guns to Mexico? We know why. You didn't get that story yet? What's it all about? Never heard it? Well, it's a simple one. I'll give it to you in 60 seconds or less. It's in trickle-down tyranny, I must tell you again. It's a big story. It's a major league story. The Justice Department decided to smuggle guns to Mexican drug gangs. Why? Because they wanted murders. Why? They wanted crimes. Why? Because then the microcephalics from Harvard, Yale, and the other denizens of lower learning and lower living who work for this Marxist administration could say, look at that. It's guns that are causing crime in America, and we need to ban guns in America. I trace it. I did a whole chapter on it in Trickle Down Tyranny. If you're a gun lover, as I am, because it's the only road that we have that we know scares off dictators. Did you know that? The only thing that scares off a dictatorship is an armed population. Did you know that as well? Did you know what your friend and Sean Penn's friend in South America is doing? You know what he's doing? He's banning gun ownership now in his country, in South America. I wonder if Sean Penn will give up his guns because his boss in South America is asking the citizens of that nation to give up their guns before the election. So if you are a gun lover, as I am, incidentally, I was going through pictures again for my forthcoming, it's months from now, Train Tracks book, my memoirs, and I found a picture that will blow your mind. You know what it is? I'm not putting it on the website. I have to save it for the book, Train Tracks. It's young Michael at Jamaica High School on the rifle team. There I was in the back row, and it was a championship team. I didn't know any of this. There I am in the background holding a Mossberg 22. All the boys on that rifle team were holding guns in the basement of a New York City high school. Can you believe it? Before the psychosis of liberalism had destroyed our school system, boys, even girls, I guess, were allowed to join rifle teams. And guess what? There was not one noted case of a shooting. In the history of rifle teams in America, that is until the psychotics in the medical profession, along with the gangsters in the pharmaceutical profession, started to make up diagnoses about illnesses that don't even exist so they can prescribe drugs that are toxic, poisonous, and brain-killing. And so, therefore, people started to go crazy. Columbine, murderous rages produced by these drugs they're putting kids on. Murderous, insane rages. So, naturally, they don't even, not only do they not have rifle teams in high schools anymore, that's an established fact, they don't even let a kid bring a water gun in. Zero tolerance. He has a water gun. Call a SWAT team. Get him off their pension review. Call up the SWAT team and tell them to stop reviewing their pensions. Yeah, come in a car, chain them up. So that's an amazing picture. Michael on a rifle team. It was amazing. It'll be in Train Tracks. Really a guy. Could you believe America had rifle teams in high schools in the late 50s? And the teachers were all ex-military from World War II, men who had fought, risked their lives, came back, and mentored boys on how to be men, including how to use a gun. Unbelievable world. Look at how the world has changed in my lifetime. From rifle teams to sex change operation teams in one generation. I'm surprised they don't have the psycho doctors come in and tell you that that's the world you're living in today. It's all crazy. This is not Alice in Wonderland. This is America in Obama land. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Savage. So, Michael, thanks for joining us. You and I, as usual, are the two most unlikely radio partners, but we, I think, proved as Americans that we can find a way to work things out. And yes. What I want to say about this whole Trayvon Martin case is leaving out all the politics and all of the pressuring and all of what seems to be trying cases either in the police station or in the media room as opposed to a court, is that we did have a kind of unique situation, no matter who it was, where you have a young man who's not doing anything wrong. He's walking down the street. He doesn't really have a history of doing much wrong. No one's perfect. Right. And you have another person who is outraged at robberies in the neighborhood. He's feels, I guess, that the police don't get there fast enough. He ignores a suggestion that we don't need you to follow the person. He follows him. And somehow we have the young man lying dead in the street. And I did think that his parents have been remarkably restrained and, if anything, have set a tone that if everybody else just follows, maybe we can get through this.
No, you mean Trayvon Martin's parents?
Right.
Well, if you're asking for my comments, my comment is simple. We all wish that the young man were alive. That's to start with. No one wishes he was dead. Having said that, I'm not one to try him in the media. I think that Al Sharpton should be arrested, and so should High Jackson for moving in like vultures and steaming up the crowd and trying to cause a race war. That's the worst thing that could happen, and you know that. You know it as a governor. What would have happened if you let these outside agitators come in every time there was an incident? So, yeah, there's a lot of blame to go around. I'm glad there's going to be a trial, frankly, where all the evidence will be presented, and I hope that there's not a lynch mob outside, frankly.
Right. Now, Michael, I'll say the same thing to you that I said to John Gambling. In a lot of cases, and of course there's some famous ones, there are people who either as race baiters or self-promoters come in and they get into the case and it doesn't need it. And right now there's a shooting of some black people in Oklahoma where if somebody went into that case, it would be totally inappropriate because it looks to me like there is a mental illness involved in that shooting. And that the defendants may, one of the defendants may not even be able to stand trial. So this would totally be inappropriate. But if there were a case,
I'm sorry, Governor, I don't really want to be put in the position where I have to defend Zimmerman because I won't do so. But I don't want to eulogize Trayvon because I don't know what went on. They were in a fight. Unfortunately, this jerk had a gun and shot him and killed him.
Right.
That happened.
Well,
happened. He shouldn't have had a gun. This lunatic shouldn't have had a gun, as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
Because
right.
Between me and you, this was an unstable guy who obviously has emotional and mental issues. And he was looking for, you know, frankly, if I were in the jury, the first instinct I would have is this schmuck was looking for someone to shoot. And it could have been a white guy that he shot just as soon as a black guy. He was just looking to prove himself to be macho. That's what I think. I don't think there was a racial element where he's hunting for a black kid.
And no, and that's why the mischaracterization of the 911 tape only added fuel to the fire because it makes it appear that he identified him when he actually was only answering the police operator's call. He said, is he black, Hispanic, or white? And he said, he's black. But when they take that part out, I mean, that's an outrage. I mean, a total outrage.
What NBC did, yes, I get it. Well, you know, there was another case in Maryland that's all over the internet of a poor white guy gets clocked and beaten up by a gang of 10 black people. They strip his pants off. They teabag him. And the police chief says it's not a hate crime. I mean, this is a crazy time we're living in.
Yeah, there's a case in Kansas City involving two black kids setting a white kid on fire, which is a hate crime, but wasn't really identified that way when it was as obvious as it was. But what I'm saying
Governor, you know what I say when they say it's not a hate crime with such vile situations? I say, oh, you mean it was a love crime?
Right, right. But what I thought was interesting about this case is not as much the racial aspect of it, but the institutional failure here, because you now have a state's attorney, a police chief, and the police department itself sort of passing the buck back and forth about why this man wasn't arrested. And I thought that that blew up this case more than anything else. In other words, that the justice was done in the police department and not in a court, where you would think normally would be the case, even with Florida's self-defense stand your ground statute.
Well, Florida, as you know, is much different than New York, in many ways better. People do have the right to carry, openly carry, and to conceal and carry with very little requirements. As a result, there's less crime in some areas because people are afraid of getting whacked by, you know, citizens with guns, including old seniors from Brooklyn who moved down there, who are holding on to every welfare check that they can. But not to be sarcastic or comedic in the political arena, because this young man is dead. To me, after a situation like this, I believe there should have been an arrest. Even if there's a stand your ground law,
fact.
If one is dead and one is not dead, and there's any ambiguity, it should have been adjudicated immediately or thrown into a court. That's how I would have seen this. In other words, let's see the evidence, let's hear the tapes, but let's not let this fester. Because we saw what happened with the festering. You had the demagogues flying in trying to make hay out of it. And, of course, the rest is history. Maybe the country learned by this. Maybe the demagogues will not be so quick to incite riots in the future. I don't know. But, again, this young man is dead. He really was, like you said, he didn't seem to have a big juvie record. You know, a normal, you know, kid, a little this, a little of that. The way it looks to me is this guy, as I say, was hunting for someone he could show he's John Wayne, right? It just happened to be a black kid. Now, maybe he did insult the kid by trailing him, and the kid got incensed, Trayvon Martin, and said, "You're looking for me," and punches him. That could have happened. Still doesn't justify killing him, by the way. Incidentally, just getting punched in the mouth does not justify killing a man. You know that, right?
Absolutely.
Now, then they're going to say, well, he was on top of him and banging his head on the ground. I don't know if he was on the top or if Zimmerman was on the top. That is something that I think the jury is going to have to decide. Not me. I wasn't there. I don't even know the evidence.
Correct. And the extent of the injury, we don't know that either.
We know there was an injury, though, that they covered up on ABC. And then when they showed it was injury.
You know.
Savage.
So McCain, to his credit, John McCain, introduced a resolution to bring forth a special counsel to investigate a number of military and intelligence leaks. It was blocked by the illegitimate Democrats, the same illegitimate Democrats who made up a scandal out of a non-scandal with the Valerie Plame issue and appointed a special prosecutor, will not appoint a special prosecutor for an issue as important as this. We have the most corrupt and competent administration in American history, and apparently Republicans don't have their act together. And I want to remind you of something else. A Pakistani doctor told America where Osama bin Laden was hiding. He's going to spend the next 30 years in prison because someone in the Obama administration leaked the information as to how America found, captured, and killed Osama bin Laden. And so in return for handing the president his greatest claim to being a military commander, this Pakistani doctor will live in hell in ways you could never imagine. This is not a game for the Democrats, nor the Democrat campaign. It's life and death with real people involved. And let me remind you of something else about this administration. How anybody in the military, any military family, could ever vote for a Democrat again is beyond me. Shall I remind you that Obama named SEAL Team 6 as the team who got Osama bin Laden? It's never been known who, which team gets who. This president breached the security of the SEALs. What happened? A month later, SEAL team was shot down by the Taliban over Afghanistan, causing the deaths of 21 or 22 SEALs. Has there ever been an investigation of who gave away the helicopter they were in, who put them in that helicopter? Which person at the Defense Department, the CIA, or somewhere else put all of them in an old helicopter and had them killed? On purpose or by accident? Has there been an investigation of that? The fact of the matter is, this is a very dangerously corrupt administration. It's very dangerous. And so I think there should be a special counsel, no question about it. I'm surprised McCain had the brains and the guts to even call for one. We don't have the sound for it. But, of course, McCain finally came back from the living dead, and he was overridden by the loser from Oregon, Senator Ron Wyden, one of the weirdest people to have ever been called a U.S. senator. And Wyden objected over McCain's call for unanimous consent that the Senate proceed to consideration of the resolution. So there will be no special prosecutor. So now we have to go back to the big issue here of Holder. I believe that these scandals right now surrounding Holder are bigger than Watergate, and we're going to talk about that. I don't know how anybody listening, forget this show, how anybody watching what's going on in this administration could ever vote for Obama again. I just don't understand it. I really don't understand it. So I'll take your calls on these issues. Is Fast and Furious, is the leak of national security details to the New York Times, are these scandals bigger than Watergate? Why or why not? Now's your chance to talk. Left or right, Democrat or Republican? Houston, Texas. Terry, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I was more moderate, but have gone way to the right now after reading the book The Amateur, and then also finding out the Green Left's agenda. Now that they put coal out of business, they're trying to put natural gas out of business. That's it.
That's the whole call, okay. I appreciate the call. So you become what? You've gone from Democrat to what?
I believe every right-wing conspiracy out there. I believe you on what you're saying about Eric Holder and the left's agenda to try to get gun controls in. They do everything under the radar. They have one show when they're really trying to do something else on their agenda.
So you finally came to understand Obama's the biggest sneak in the history of the presidency?
Yes. I do. I think he is so dangerous for this country. It's almost like I don't want to give my name and say the town I'm in for fear that I might get hunted down tonight, you know?
Yeah. Oh, sure. That's the America you're living in under the dictator. Why do you think I wrote Trickle Down Tyranny? Thanks for the call. We all live in a semi-panic over Obama and his minions. We don't feel as though we're living in an America anymore. We feel like we're living in some kind of banana republic. So what's going to play out is impossible to tell truthfully. As bad as he is, Romney is too moderate, I think, for these times, and people know it. They don't know what to make of him. If you say Romney and you said, what does he stand for, nobody would know. He stands to be the head of the Republican Party. He's a nice guy, looks good, speaks well. And what? Why would you vote for Romney, I'd like to know. Give me one reason to vote for Romney right now. Pennsylvania, Ken, go ahead, please.
Hi, Mike. Thank God you're out there, Mike. Thank God you're on the air. I'm going to vote for Romney for one simple reason, to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States. Obama...
Well, okay, I don't want to play devil's advocate, but what makes you sure he's going to be any different than what we have in the White House now?
Because what I'm seeing now is a direct violation of our Constitution. In Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, the Black Panthers were holding billy clubs and not allowing whites to vote. Bush administration pressed charges against them. Obama dropped those charges.
Well, that's right, of course. The Black Panthers are the armed wing of the Holder Justice Department. Why should he drop? Why should he prosecute the armed wing of the Democrat Party? You're not thinking clearly. I mean, there was a certain Austrian who needed brown shirts. Apparently, this administration needs clubs. Thanks for the call. 1-800-449-8255. Sacramento Drew, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Dr. Savage. I just would like to address this fallacy that, you know, you have to have two people that are armed to have a fair fight. You know, there are people out there who, you know, have the ability to kill, knock you out, maim you, barehanded, even if you are armed, if they can get within arm's reach of you. The other
right.
thing is,
I know that. So, but what's your point?
Well, just because the other person didn't have a gun, it shouldn't automatically be presumed that it was an unfair fight.
Are you talking about the Zimmerman case?
Yes, I am, sir.
Well, he was having his head bashed in by the man who was shot. That's right. His head was being smashed against the sidewalk, so he defended his life, irrespective of who started the fight. The poor man who got shot was banging his head against the sidewalk and probably would have killed him had he not been shot. There's no question about it. There's a case here in San Francisco of this idiotic race, Bay and Breakers. A bunch of schmucks get dressed up like lunatics and they run from the bay to the ocean. And they're just overgrown children still thinking it's the 60s, whatever. They show a picture of a guy 6 feet tall with his friend, and then they say he was killed with one punch from someone in the crowd over a cell phone. And they dance around the issue of the perpetrator. He was wearing a jersey. He had a certain number. He gave a gang sign. Everything but what they really have to say for you to find the guy. The guy was hit with one punch, a big, strapping white guy, and his head at the sidewalk, and he died. Yes, it happens all the time. That's all. How do you feel about, fill in the blank, the deficit doubling in a year? How do you feel about Syria? No one ever talks about Syria. By the way, these stories about raping and killing children, frankly, I have no reason to believe them. If it's coming from the UN, I think it's a lie. I don't believe anything the UN says. And I think the UN is run by radical Muslims. So what they want is to overthrow this dictator, and he is bad. Let's be very clear here. He's an evil, bad man. But what's waiting is more evil and worse. If you disagree with me, take a look at what Obama has orchestrated in Libya and tell me that the government in Libya is better than Gaddafi. Now tell me that the government in Egypt now is better than it was under Mubarak. And you'll be a fool if you say so. The Arab Spring that Obama orchestrated with Soros, Brzezinski, Hillary Clinton, their names should rest in infamy for what they've done to the Middle East, is not the Arab Spring. It's the Arab Winter. They're descending. They're going backwards in time. And so don't tell me that Syria will necessarily be better in the hands of the, quote, rebels. Suddenly it's Sal Mineo and rebels without a cause. Again, you're falling for the Hollywood script. Yes, he's a dictator. Yes, he's evil. But what's waiting in the wings may be more evil and far worse for the world's stability. It's crazy. The whole thing's crazy right now. It's very hard for people to know what is going on. 1-800-449-8255. I'm asking you again. People are very unhappy with the imposter in the White House. Not only is he incompetent, but he is. There's a word for him that I'm trying to find that hasn't been used. I think the word is mendacious. Obama's a mendacious president. Look up the word. Look up the word mendacity and see if it applies to Obama. This man is an embarrassment to the White House. The man is an embarrassment. Last week we had a commemoration of the greatest operation in the history of the U.S. military, where thousands of men died to liberate Europe. Do you know that this president did not even take time out from fundraising amongst the vermin in California to even acknowledge the death of the men at Normandy? Not once, not one sentence from him or the first lady. So you want to use the word mendacity or mendacious? You want to use the word contempt? They're contemptuous. I've never seen anything how he gets away with this. Can you imagine if any other president spit on the graves of the war dead, what would be going on in the military? I don't even know what happened to the military. Where is the military? Where are the, I don't understand it. Where are the men of the military? Why is there no outcry? How could they not protest this man? Appear outside the White House, 1,000 of them with black armbands for what Obama didn't do on June 6th. No, not one word. I don't understand it anymore. I don't understand how my country has devolved to this point. You know, I can give you a clever little phrase and this and that. We have an issue bigger than Watergate right now. Much bigger than Watergate. Which is that Eric Holder is stonewalling on the smuggling of guns to Mexico to drug gangs, number one. Eric Holder is lying and covering up leak of national security information to Stalinists in the New York Times, which has a long experience of backing dictatorships, going all the way back to the 1930s. The Times has always been on the side of dictatorships while posing as liberalism. So we have big scandals. It's much bigger than Watergate. We need an independent counsel. And need I remind you that they called for one with the fake Valerie Plame issue, which they made a movie out of like she was a big victim. She was sitting on her behind in an office there in Washington, and she was never threatened. They made her into some threatened spy. But in this case, spies have gotten whacked because of what Obama's people have done. It's a big case, a big story. But where are the where's Romney on this? McCain is even more vocal. You want to hear that? Even McCain seems to be more vocal than Romney, if you can believe this. McCain seems to be more alive than Romney, if you can believe this. I don't understand how anyone around Romney doesn't understand the man is blowing his opportunity to defeat the most corrupt, the most incompetent, the most anti-American administration in history. It's a sure thing. But with Romney plodding along like Mr. Country Club Herky Jerky, I don't know that he's going to win, frankly. I'm worried about him. I am still worried about him. So I can take your calls on this. If you want to, who are you going to vote for? Why? Are you going to vote for Obama? No matter what you've seen or heard, why? I drive around here in the Bay Area. I see idiots with Obama-Biden bumper stickers. And I scratch my head and I say, are they that stupid? Are they that idiotic? And I feel like screaming out, hey, moron, have you heard of Fast and Furious? Have you heard of Solyndra? Have you heard of the SEAL team being killed? But it's pointless. I have a talk show, so I get to vent what I think is important on this show. I don't know how you take it. If you know all of these things, I don't know how you handle it, the average person. I really don't know how they can handle this. Austin, Texas, Miguel, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thank you, Mike. The way that I see with Romney is he has run a campaign that, yes, certainly has deficiencies, but at least he has been efficient enough to put up a fight with the biggest Democratic machine that ever was, which is the Obama campaign machine. And he has done so with certain some errors, but in some areas has been brilliant. And he has this business background and this way of going about it.
All right, so are you going to vote for Romney in a few words or less? Why? What has he got that you like?
Because he's a person that can at least have a business background and will run through the problems of this country methodically. And more importantly, he has been very vocal about a matter that is critical for our national security, too. He is willing...
Okay, I agree with you. Even if his business background is not the greatest in the world, let's put it that way. But he has a business background. At least he can add and subtract. Obama can't even add nor subtract because he doesn't care to. He has doubled the deficit in 1 year. Mad King Ludwig of Bavaria was exactly the same as Obama. Mad King Ludwig didn't care about adding. He was above addition and subtraction. At least Romney knows what a balance sheet looks like. Prior to being president, I do not believe Obama ever had a balance even his checkbook. I suspect that he didn't do that. I suspect that he was simply a kind of airy, intellectual left-winger of a certain sort and of a certain time, where money and things related to money were beneath him. That's my guess. And I don't think it's changed very much, to put it in very mild terms. Okay? So you look at the Pakistani doctor who was shafted. He's going to spend 30 years in the most hellhole prison imaginable, being tortured every day by the government for telling us where Osama bin Laden was. Would you say this was cowardly of Obama to throw him to the wolves in Pakistan? Or would you say it's heroic? Would you say that's heroic of him? I'll be right back.
Savage.
Well, okay, I mean, you know where I stand. Let's hear where you stand on the Savage Nation. You know, it's interesting to me if you look at the Gallup poll, and I, you know, it's too soon and this and that. So Obama's popularity is falling amongst this group and that group, and it's close and it's competitive and shamanative. How are you ever going to educate the average person when the opposition party is so meek? The object of an opposition party is to be very vocal in criticizing the incumbent party and explaining why they will do a better job. Not just saying, vote for me and I'll do a better job. Tell us how and why. And moreover, tell us what you're going to do. Tell me what Romney said he's going to do if he wins the presidency, because I don't know what it is. I am not a politician. I don't ever intend to run for office. If I did, I would run on one platform: borders, language, culture. I'd make it very plain where I stand. I would secure the borders. I would make English only the language of every office in America. It could only be in English. Any official document, only in English. No telephones, press one for English. No state offices speaking 2 or 3 or 10 languages. I don't believe in the Tower of Babel. I believe in the melting pot and people becoming Americans, as my grandfather did. Borders, language, culture. Period, end of story. then you know where I stand. If you don't agree with borders, if you're one of these schmucks who believes in open borders and really would like to live in Syria or Turkey, well, then you wouldn't agree with me. If you'd like to live in a Tower of Babel where people are disunified because they don't speak a common language, then you wouldn't agree with me on language. If you disagree with me on the culture element, well, what do you mean by culture? Culture is simple, very simple, built upon the U.S. Constitution and the Bill of Rights. Have an objection to the Constitution, then you wouldn't vote for me. But if you believe the U.S. Constitution is the greatest document ever written for the freedom of the masses, if you believe a nation needs a common language to hold it together, if you understand that a border, the borders of a nation define it geographically, then you would vote for Michael Savage. Have you heard Romney once say anything about the borders, the language, or the culture? Answer no. Because he's a big government Republican. I told you I'll vote for him on two issues alone, taking a gamble he'll be better on taxes and national security. But I don't really know. I don't really know where he stands. I have no idea, because he won't say anything. There's something wrong with the whole picture. And I think we're seeing a game of two-card Monty again. Two-card Monty, and there's one card in the deck. New York, WOR, Rob, welcome to the program. You're on the Savage Nation.
Romney can't win, Michael. There's no way in hell that he'll win. We're in for four more years of much of the same, Michael. You know, Obama is so deeply entrenched in the minds and the media. Well, all you see is Republican bad, Obama good. And if that's put into one's mind over and over again, Michael, it's very, very hard to change. And
well, the thing that worries me is that the people who need to come out won't come out to vote for a tepid candidate. That's what I'm worried about.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Americans deserve an attorney general who will be honest with them. They deserve an attorney general who will uphold the basic standards of political independence and accountability. You've proven time and time again, sadly, that you're unwilling to do so. The American people deserve better. They deserve an attorney general who is accountable and independent. They deserve an attorney general who puts justice before politics. And it's my sincere hope that President Obama will replace you with someone who is up to that challenge.
Well, it's never going to happen. You know what? The mendacious is going to replace the mendacious with who? I tried to come up with a proper word that describes Obama, and the one that fits for me today is mendacious. If you look it up, it means untruthfulness. Falsehood, lying, falsity, lie, untruth. So you say, big deal, all politicians lie. No, they don't. Not all lie, number one. Not all are pathological liars, number two. I believe we have an administration that is pathological in its lying, never telling the truth to the people about anything. And I believe mendacity is the operational word for Holder and for Obama. When did the norm become mendacity? When did the norm in American politics become that mendacity became the norm? Let's put it to you that way. When did lying become the norm amongst politicians? When did it become acceptable for an attorney general to be a deceitful liar? When? Tell me when. Way back when they threw John Mitchell out during the Watergate scandal. Rightly so, maybe. But what Watergate accomplished was nothing compared to what Fast and Furious and the national security leaks are doing to this country. And yet today the Democrats voted to not appoint a special counsel. So if you care to talk about that or the other question I raised in the last hour in the Savage Nation, which is who are you going to vote for and why? I mean, it's still a good question because I can't believe people haven't made up their minds. I wish the election could be held this month and be over with it. I'm sick of it. And I wish the $1 trillion that they're going to spend on campaign ads could be spent on saving the elephants and the mountain gorillas. Instead of these evil parties blowing, I don't know what, $1 billion? How much are they going to blow on lying ads attacking each other? Hundreds of millions? Hundreds of millions, would you say, between now and the election? If that elephants for their ivory. And $1 million could be spent on Viagra for the Chinese in China who are using the ground-up elephant tusk for their apparent aphrodisiac qualities. I mean, what century are they living in? I'd rather see the money spent on protecting the elephants and the mountain gorillas than, for the election. But then again, that's never going to happen. These parties are like steamrollers, railroad trains, dreadnoughts. They're on a path, and there's no varying where they're going. There's no varying how they operate. There's no varying how these dreadnoughts patrol the seas of the national political seas, rather. There's no varying their movements. We may as well be living in the era of World War I, the way the parties are running this country. Nothing has changed. You talk about social networks, this change, that change, every idiot running around with an iPhone, thinking that it's the Holy Grail in their hand. And yet the political parties are stuck somewhere in the middle of the 1800s. No change. What kind of country is this that it can't adapt to the modern times? Moreover, why are we stuck with two parties? It's a bigger question. Why aren't there four parties, three, seven? In a true democracy, there would be more parties than two, wouldn't there? I mean, what if you don't like Diet Coke or Diet Pepsi? What if you like fresh orange juice? You have to take one or the other with aspartame? Is that how it works? I don't want aspartame. I want orange juice. Show me the political party that represents orange juice. It doesn't exist. So I'm jaundiced on the whole political picture, frankly. I'm not that optimistic about the end result, which one way or the other. I know that this corrupt, mendacious administration has been a disaster for America. Everybody with a brain knows that, except those who are benefiting from it or those who really don't know anything. If you want to talk about this, we can. Or we can go back to the other topic from yesterday, which was a show that will live in for years. We have the Jerry Sandusky and McQuarrie scandal at Penn State. So here is Jerry Sandusky answering outside the courtroom in clip 21.
Okay, these allegations are false. I didn't do those things. I told him that it didn't happen. And, there wasn't, in my mind, there wasn't inappropriate behavior.
Do you have any idea when you think you might be ready to
talk? Let's stop right there. Stop. Okay. I'll tell you right now, I've known men in my life, mainly academicians, who talked like that. Clouded words, muffled words, muffled wordings, and kind of inappropriately kind of chuckled and laughed in the middle of a statement. Sorry, I don't buy it, Sandusky. In my mind, it wasn't inappropriate behavior in a shower room with a young boy. You were just horsing around. Are you kidding me? Play 21 again. Listen to this.
Okay, these allegations are false. I didn't do those things. I told him that it didn't happen. And, there wasn't, in my mind, there wasn't inappropriate behavior.
Well, no, not inappropriate, isn't. Not to you. In your mind, you said. You noticed that the guy was clever enough to say that it wasn't inappropriate. He said, in my mind, it wasn't inappropriate. May I suggest that if you are a deviant, such behavior is not inappropriate? May I suggest that? That to a murderer, homicide is not inappropriate behavior. To a mendacious individual, lying is not inappropriate behavior. To a thief, stealing is not inappropriate behavior. So it's not what your mind, aren't there any national standards anymore? You know, jumping to another issue, popular culture is something I love to talk about. In her day, she was exciting, whatever her name was. I don't know her real name. Madonna, some Madonna. It's a disgrace to the Catholic Church. Here she goes to a religious country like Turkey, and she bigged Does that not disgust you, not for what she showed? Who cares? Doesn't it disgust you that an old woman would think she's sexy and do a thing like that? The best article on this was written by Liz Smith, who is a gossip columnist. You say, well, you don't read. I read everything. And she, Liz Smith really nailed Madonna to a cross, I must tell you. I mean, we can just take a little break from the politics for a minute because my head's getting too hot. I'm getting brain fever from talking about Obama and Holder. Where is this? Oh, here. Oh, do give it a rest, Madonna. Liz Jones? Oh, Liz Jones. Liz Jones. Oh, do give it a rest, Madonna. At 53, all you're exposing is your desperation. Liz Jones. Watching Madonna live on stage in Istanbul was a little like being assaulted by the cast of Dad's Army performing a Chippendales routine. I don't know what that means. I don't know what Dad's Army is. Madonna, who is 53 years old and a mother several times over, stripped off, flashing her right breast at the audience. Do we really need to see superannuated former sex symbols flaunting their erogenous zones? Nicely put. And then she goes on and says, I had thought the close-up, slow panning by BBC cameraman of 60-something Grace Jones's oiled thighs and scantily covered crotch at the Jubilee concert was bad enough. But the flaunting by Madonna of her right nipple on stage in Turkey really took the biscuit. She thinks she is being shocking when in fact she is being boring. We've seen it all before. Madonna is determined to convince us and herself that being in her sixth decade does not mean she is no longer a sexual, desirable being. Well, I'm sorry, love, but it does. It's over. The referee has blown his whistle, and the checkered flag has come down. That's good. That's good writing. Good writing. She goes on and says, you might think I'm all for women in their 50s acting as though they're in their raunchy, carefree 20s, given that I've had a facelift. I applaud the fact that Madonna has not let herself go, blah, blah, blah. Bluntly, though, nudity age of 53 is not just gratuitous, it's gruesome. It's gruesome. And she goes on, and it's pathetic. How do they get away with this, I wonder? Who goes to... Is it better if older women feel we should believe the illusion and measure up to Madonna, who strains every nerve and sinew to convince the world she's a bendier, feistier, leaner, better version of her young self? And et cetera. It's an interesting question. Very interesting. But why they would have her in Israel and Turkey, I don't know. Well, Israel's not a religious country. Israel's a secular nation. So it's a wake-up call, she says. That is what made Madonna's latest striptease so pitiful. Okay? The hole was in her soul. The hole was in her soul. And what are you going to do about it? Nothing. When people stop paying money to see old hags like this, they'll stop performing. You know? It's like, remember Blanche DuBois from A Streetcar Named Desire? Remember how it was written? Her poise is an illusion she presents to shield others, but mostly herself from her reality and an attempt to make herself still attractive to the new male suitors. Of course, you had to be the writer of that era to even write words like that. I don't know if anyone could read them. What else do you want to talk about? Anything else? You want to compare Madonna to the other one? The other one from Brooklyn with another? Who was the other one from Brooklyn? I forget her. Who? Lady Gaga. Another one, Lady Gaga. Lady Gaga. Lady Gag on her. But, you know, this is a hysterical situation. And why am I bringing it up? Because I'm bored of the Obama-Romney story already. I can't take any more of it. I think I've had it. I did my normal show topic for about a half an hour. Oh, here's Mitt Romney on Fox and Friends. Oh, he did make an appearance. Let's hear a little word from old Romney, Clip 11.
He's had a number of very revealing comments that show just how far out of touch he is with what's happening in the country. Yesterday, he said,
right,
among other things.
On. That's all. End of story. Sorry. I'm not a milquetoast kind of guy. I don't want to remind you that extremism in the defense of liberty is no vice. And I remind you of something else. Moderation. That's what I call leadership. This I could do without, this middle-of-the-road stuff. I'll vote for him. All right, I'm not expecting very much. It's like peanut butter and jelly when you really don't want it. Romney's like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich when you're starving and you really would rather have some, you know, meat on a piece of bread or even tuna fish. And the school cafeteria is going to give you like tomato soup. But if you're hungry, you'll even eat the tomato soup in a school cafeteria. Romney is like tomato soup in a school cafeteria when you're starving. We've been living on like cabbage soup, gruel. Gruel for something. Houston, Texas, Max, you're on the Savage Nation.
Mae West projected more sexuality in her little finger with her clothes on and her vernacular than Madonna ever will, even if she lives to be 100, Dr. Savage.
Well, I don't know. Mae West was, to me, nothing. He was a young boy when I used to see her. I had no idea why people were intrigued by her. I didn't understand that kind of bawdiness in a woman. Well, I just never went for it. I don't like the brazen woman act, frankly. To me, it's a bad act. It doesn't sell. I'm from another world. I like women to be soft and kind and intelligent. You know, I just don't go for this brazen exhibitionism. It doesn't turn me on. Let's put it to you that way. I think it actually turns me off personally. It makes me disgusted.
I still
that's a personal thing. That's all. It's a personal thing. You want to talk about Nurse Jackie? Another television show? We could do that. A show I said I'd never watch. I mean, it's just that I like her as an actress. Edie, and I'm bored. Edie, whatever her name is. She was so good in the Sopranos that I started watching it again. She's a pillhead, you know, nurse, uses pills. But her acting is good. You override the ethics and morality of the character. It's not a compelling character, and it's a little swarmy. But I've come to like the show as a boring fill-in. Look, I work very hard on radio. I get exhausted. I need something. So I'll take a break right now. I'll be right back.
Savage.
I never liked peanut butter and jelly myself. It was like certain kids' families didn't give them any food to eat, really. They threw a peanut butter and jelly sandwich at them. My mother was a cook, you know what I mean? I always had like hot meals. I feel like Romney's like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich as opposed to the cabbage soup we've been eating under Obama. I mean, you listen to Romney. Listen to it again in clip 11. Tell me how long you can hear this.
He's had a number of very revealing comments that show how far...
I was a program director. Here's how radio works. If you were looking for a job in talk radio, you put together a tape, a CD, and you send it to 400 stations. Program directors used to listen to them. They always told me that they decided in 7 seconds whether somebody could be on the radio. So I'm going to play Romney again and tell me if you'd hire him to be a talk show host. Listen.
He's had a number of very revealing comments that show just how far out of touch he is.
Sorry,
with
the next, you don't even mail a CD back. That's the problem in a nutshell. I mean, I'll simplify it for you. Now, I want to play now the mendacious president, and you're going to see what's wrong with the picture and why he's liable to win again. Play any piece from Obama that you have, just any speech that he's given recently, anything. Okay. I'm bringing it up. All right, it happens. I make things up as I go along. Obama, that's the president of the United States. It's spelled Obama, Obama, he's the president. Yeah. Okay, play it already. And I still don't have it. Okay, the joke is over already.
When so many what people happened? Are still out there pounding the pavement, sending out resumes, so many
no,
families are doing
it. That's it. See? Neither of them would get a talk show host job. Nope, both of them wouldn't get it. Now, play clip 18. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you were a program director, you'd hire this guy. Listen, clip 18.
I think there's plenty of room in the Republican Party for a wide range of candidates.
No, even he's out of steam. Even the balloon is out of hot air. Now, clip 19. Let's see if you'd hire him.
Not that portrait unveiling, some unexpected headlines. And an even more unexpected comparison.
So your socks have been making headlines.
Well, I like a colorful sock. So I'm a sock man. And
he couldn't work
this
at radio
a modest
either.
Pair here today.
End of story. Finished. Let's hear clip 8 in the 17 seconds that remain. 8 seconds. 14. Clip 8.
Will you seek the court's permission to release the affidavits so people can read them and decide for themselves what they mean?
No, Grassley couldn't get a job in talk radio. No, nobody. Don't you understand how this works? There's no Q factor in any of them.
Savage.
Hey, It is the Savage Nation. Let's go to the callers, 1-800-449-8255. Let's begin in Alabama with Bonnie. Bonnie, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hey, I love listening to you. Sometimes I agree. Sometimes you really make me angry. But the analogy on Obama feeding us cabbage versus the PB&J that Romney's going to feed us, I think that Obama is feeding us grass, saying it's cabbage, but at least the PB&J is a little more nutritional and you can go poop. He wouldn't let me see
right.
what my analogy
exactly.
was.
We would all like a cheeseburger or something, and what we're going to get is a peanut butter and jelly sandwich from Romney. That's all right. It's a good analogy. Let's run with it. Indianapolis, Paul, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yes, you mentioned that you were on the rifle team. And an
yes.
side light to that is that during World War II, one of the reasons that the Russians wanted Stalingrad is because Stalin had mandated a marksman program in the schools.
Mm.
And so when the Battle of Stalingrad started and they had all this rubble, he had a ready pool of sharpshooters to infiltrate the rubble and kill the Germans. It's one of the reasons they won that battle. I thought that
I agree with you, and I'll tell you another little related story. I once interviewed a World War II P-51 Mustang fighter pilot from the San Francisco area. He was an older man, of course, at the time. And he said the reason he was able to take to the skies and shoot down enemy planes so easily is because he grew up hunting with a small bore rifle, like a .22, shooting small creatures. And he learned how to lead an animal. You know exactly what I mean if you're a shooter. And he said that's, essential to a dogfight. You can't fire right at the plane because you'll miss it, because the plane won't be there by the time the bullets arrive. So you have to lead the plane. You have to figure out where it's going to be and shoot in front of it. And he said that's why he became an ace fighter pilot. Now, that could never happen in a nation run by liberals, where there is such a detestation not only of guns, but of fighting and of the maleness, it's of maleness itself. There's a war against maleness in this country. And frankly, I would say Obama's our first feminist president, if you want to put it that way.
Yes. Many of our snipers came from that background.
Oh, well, don't say that to Charles Schumer. If Charles Schumer in New York ever saw a BB gun, he would call the FBI.
Probably would.
All right, thanks for the call. No, I totally believe we should reintroduce shooting ranges in American high schools, but it would only be open to those who do not use any medication. In order to get certified to enter a rifle team in an American high school, which I think should be seriously discussed, you would have to produce medical records to show that you have not been on any medication, any psychoactive medication, for a minimum of 2 years. And that would go for the coaches as well, which means there'd be no rifle teams in America. Speaking of coaches, former Penn State coach tells court he saw Sandusky with boy in shower. I'm reading now directly from Fox News. A former Penn State assistant coach who was a central figure in Joe Paterno's downfall testified Tuesday that he heard a skin-on-skin smacking sound in a campus locker room one night in 01 and saw something that was more than my brain could handle. Jerry Sandusky, he said, was standing naked in the showers behind a boy, slowly moving his hips, Mike McQuarrie told the jury. He said he had no doubt he was witnessing anal sex. He testified that he slammed his locker shut loudly as if to say, "Someone's here, break it up." He then went upstairs to his office to try to make sense of what he had seen. Sandusky, 68, is on trial on charges he molested 10 boys over a 15-year period. Authorities say he abused them in hotels, at his home, and inside the football team's quarters. The former assistant coach has denied the allegations. McQuarrie's account differed little from the one he gave in December at a preliminary hearing. And Sandusky attorney Carl Rominger pressed McQuarrie during cross-examination about discrepancies in an estimate of the boy's age. McQuarrie replied, "If you want to argue about 9, 10, 11, or 12, the fact is he had sex with a minor, a boy." So he goes on, and he said he entered the locker room and he heard a noise. "Very much skin-on-skin smacking sound," he said. "I immediately became alert and was kind of embarrassed that I was walking in on something." He said that he glanced over his shoulder in a mirror at a 45-degree angle and saw Sandusky, quote, "standing behind a boy who was propped up against the wall." He estimated the boy to be 10 to 12 years old. He said that the boy's hands were up on the wall and, quote, "the defendant's midsection was moving," close quote. I don't want to read anymore because I'm getting sick. He said, it was more than my brain could handle. I was making decisions on the fly. I picked up the phone and called my father to get advice from the person I trusted most in my life because I just saw something ridiculous. He said he was extremely vague with his father, who told him to leave immediately. McQuarrie said he went to Paterno's house the next morning and relayed what he had seen, but did not describe the act explicitly out of respect for the coach and his own embarrassment. And he goes on and on. They were covering it up, in other words. At the time, McQuarrie was a graduate coaching assistant. That had happened. The identity of the boy who was said to have been in the shower was a mystery to the prosecutors. In fact, two of the 10 alleged victims have yet to be located or even identified. Earlier Tuesday, the teenager who triggered the grand jury investigation that rocked Penn State became the second of the alleged victims to take the stand. Choking back tears, he said that Sandusky kissed him, fondled him, and engaged in oral sex with him during numerous sleepovers in the basement of his Sandusky's home while the coach's wife was upstairs. Oh, God. I don't know if I should read any more. I want you to listen, though, to Sandusky himself outside the courtroom, and I want you to tell me instantly if you believe him in clip 21.
Okay, these allegations are false. I didn't do those things. I told him that it didn't happen. And, there wasn't, in my mind, there wasn't inappropriate behavior.
I don't, you don't laugh about a thing like this. First of all, that's number one. Number two, you don't put cotton in your mouth if you're telling the truth. You don't put cotton, you don't cotton up your mouth if you're not lying. See, mendacity. Sandusky didn't visibly react to the teen's account and looked straight ahead during his testimony. He's on trial. I'm just saying, from one man's opinion, it seems to me like there's not where there's smoke, there's fire. There's a little bit more to it than that. So what would be the proper punishment here? Oh, let's not call on that, please. I don't know how this guy goes on, Sandusky. I truly don't know how the man could take this kind of trial, get up in the morning, kiss his lovely wife, shave, cut the snout hair off, trim the hair out of the snout, trim the hairs growing out of his ears, cut off the horns on top of his head, shave him down with something that cuts down on bone, and then put on a clean white shirt, a tie. I can't imagine that. I mean, there is a noble way to end this. If he's guilty, I mean, unless he's innocent. What else? Grand jury to get case of Texas that would beat alleged child molester to death. Did you see that story? So I'm MichaelSavage.com. Texas dad beat alleged child molester to death. It's a huge story in a backwater of Texas. Texas prosecutor said the case of a rancher who beat to death a man he caught allegedly molesting his daughter will go to a grand jury to decide whether the killing was justified or an act of excessive force. The father claims he caught the man trying to molest his four-year-old daughter on his ranch. Although the sheriff said the girl's father is unlikely to be arrested, D.A. Heather McMinn, radical feminist, told Fox News that the case remains under investigation. Of course, you send a radical feminist there, he's already guilty. Da-da-da-da-da. Relatives of the 47-year-old dead man, who has not been located, blah, blah, blah. They're looking for family members in Mexico. You have to read the whole article, okay, till you get the word, the magic M word. There's certain words you can't find right off the bat with the Associated Pukes writing articles. You know what I'm saying? You had to read half the article, family members in... My understanding is they're looking for family members in... What? What'd you say? They're looking for family members in... They don't even want to say the word because they're afraid they'll be accused of being rain. His name will not be released until those relatives are found. My understanding is that they're looking for family members in Mexico. That's what passes for news now. That's the Associated Press and Fox News. Can't say meh because then they'll be, where's he from? Where's the man from? He's from, what'd you say? What's his country of origin? He's an undocumented citizen, is that it? Well, let's move on now to the weather. The weather's really moving up now with the sagebrush blowing in from Galveston. The victim was an acquaintance of the father who visited the ranch to help care for some horses. The girl's father notified police late Saturday that he attacked the man he caught attempting to sexually assault his daughter near a barn where horses were kept. In the course of trying to get her away from him and protect her, he struck the subject several times in the head, and the subject died. Good for him. The girl was taken to a hospital to be examined and was later released. The victim's body was taken to the Travis County Medical Examiner's Office for an autopsy. Director of Texas... Oh, James Harrington, director of the Texas Civil Rights Project, an Austin-based nonprofit group. Right away, those are code words for some left-wing perverted fanatic. Question the father's decision to summarily execute the alleged molester without due process. Listen, you pervert, you have no children. These civil rights rats, they have no families and no children, most of them. Sitting in judgment of the father? Then they listen to what the guy says, the civil rights guy. Assuming it's true that this guy was molesting the daughter, and we don't know exactly what happened, he would then have the right to defend her and hit him enough to have him stop, Harrington told Fox News. But you cannot summarily execute him, even though I can understand the anger he would have. Well, that is so university of you, James Harrington. And how many daughters do you have, James? How many children do you have, James Harrington, director of the Texas Civil Rights Project? You fraud, you. You fraud, you. Without specific knowledge of the case, the civil rights fraud said he was surprised that the girl's father had not been already charged. The question is, when does it move beyond self-defense? How would you know about any of this? Okay, I'm going to get angry. I don't want to get angry. Most people interviewed said he got what he deserved. I agree with him totally. I would probably do worse, said a man owned the store. The family have to deal with that the rest of their lives, no matter what happens to the father. Even if they let him go, he and his child will have to deal with that the rest of their lives. The owner of Howard's convenience store said the killing was a hot topic throughout the weekend. Everybody wants to know who it is. Everybody's very curious about it. Well, the Associated Press says he's from Miami. The man is from Maine. He's from a country called Maine. Well, I honestly know they're looking for family members in Maine. They can't say Mexico because then you'll put two and two together. Let's see. Mexico, illegal alien, rapist, child rapist. Oh no, not. We can't say that because it's liable to turn the cracker against the illegal alien, against the American voter. So don't say the word Mexico ever unless they're winning a Nobel Prize for something. See, winning a Nobel Prize, you can say Mexico. Raping a four-year-old in a stable, can't say Mexico. Inventing the airplane, you can say Mexico. Do I have to finish the story? I'm getting crazy from this. I just can't take any more of this. What time is it already? 40s. It's a heat wave. It's driving me insane. I hate the heat. I hate it. It's not global warming. It's called summertime. I dread every day that it goes on forever. I feel like it's Mars. I feel as though it's long days journey into night on steroids. I can understand why Eugene O'Neill turned to heroin. I mean, I don't use drugs. I don't know how I get through life with my personality and the pain I suffer from various and sundry things. I can't take this anymore. We got a heat wave. When it hits in San Francisco, it's usually 2-3 days. This has gone on for a week. My face is reddened. I'm hiding like a wounded animal. I'm hiding indoors. I don't even dare go out. I can't go out. I can't take it. Some people love the heat. I don't understand it. I don't think the human being is made for heat. Well, okay, south of the equator, yes. It's that I don't know. I probably should live. I'm in the 37th parallel, you know, latitude 37 degrees. I should be probably no further south than 47. I got to think about moving to Canada, maybe Vancouver. It's too hot there, too. It's so liberal there, it's frightening. The junkies, they gave needles before everybody. You know, I'm going to live where? I'm going to live in Victoria Park. Where am I going to live in there? I'm going to live in some stupid suburban house overlooking the bay. How am I going to ever survive in Canada, I say to myself. Okay, so let's move to Alaska, mentally. Then I think Alaska, what comes to my mind? I mean, you deal in symbolism. I'm only human. I've never been to Alaska. I've never wanted to go to Alaska. Never dreamed of Alaska. Never wanted to go there. I have negative images of Alaska. Then along came Sarah Palin, and that finished it. I mean, I was like, okay, there were times I thought of Alaska, going there, like occasional visit. Then I saw the poor, you know, Inuits with no teeth, selling trinkets made in China. I just didn't want to go there. Cruise ships dumping people off like like in Key West. Ugh. So I just want to go there. Then along came Sarah Palin. That was the end of the road. It was like Hush, you know, Musk, Muskies, Huskies. Where is she? Whatever happened to her? She came on so strong and gone. Gone with the wind. The worst disaster in history would be if Romney picks her as a right. If he picks her as VP, I'll make a commitment right on this show. If the Brutuses inside the Romney campaign choose Sarah Palin as a running mate for Romney, I'm leaving the country. Okay, write it down. If the Brutuses inside the Romney campaign pick Sarah Palin as a running mate for Romney, and Romney is not smart enough to see that it will destroy his campaign, I'm leaving America. Where I'm moving, I don't know. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Well, there it is. I mean, people are mad at me now for even saying one word about, peanut butter and jelly on the Republican side. That's my job. I'm an independent. I'm not a Republican. Don't confuse me with a member of Fox News. I'm not on Fox News for good reason. I'm an independent. Eric in Boston, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hey, I wanted to talk about the Sandusky trial. You had talked earlier about the guy who actually witnessed the rape. And why is this guy not being prosecuted? He's an assessor.
I don't know.
Crime.
I don't know. He was an assistant. He was a very young guy. He went and told his father. He told the Paterno. It's an interesting question. I mean, he should have gone to the police is what I guess anybody would say, right?
Yes. This happens a lot in molestation cases. Way too many people keep their mouths shut. And these people just go on molesting other people because somebody wasn't strong enough to stand up and tell what was going on.
Well, Sandusky was a god at that time. Remember, he was the assistant coach, right? This guy was a young grad student. He was afraid to say a word, so he went to his mentor, Paterno, who didn't say anything either. Remember that scandal? And Paterno quit or was fired, and then he died recently?
Yeah.
From shame, probably, that he was involved in this cover-up.
Yeah, it's a horrible thing.
The only one who's still going is the devil himself. I found that out with truly evil people, you know, have no shame. Did you know that? Did you know that truly evil people who commit malicious acts upon others have no shame or no conscience?
Yep, and they just keep on going and keep on doing it. And, you know, I went through something similar as a child, too, without going into detail. And it's a horrible thing for a child to go through. And
I don't understand. What did you just said you saw such a thing?
No, I went through something. I was molested as a child.
Oh, this is a continuance of yesterday's show. You yourself were the victim.
Yes. And a lot of people did the same thing, did not step up and have this person prosecuted.
Well, I agree with you, and I want to give the same advice I gave yesterday. If you're a young child or you have young children, you must train them in self-defense against such predators, which is scream, punch, kick, bite, and run as fast as you can. Teach your child to kick the bad man, punch the bad man, bite the bad man, yell at the bad man, and run away. Am I right, Eric?
Yes, you're exactly right, and that's what I taught.
See, parents don't even broach this topic. They're afraid of it, and they say, it'll never happen. They don't even want to imagine it. But unfortunately, it does happen. And more unfortunately, children are not trained to react. They don't know what to do. They panic, and they don't know how to get away. It's like a martial art in its own way. You know, get a punching bag. Say if a bad man touches you, grabs you, whatever, don't even let him get near you. Punch him, kick him, scream, bite, run. That's my advice. Same advice as yesterday, Savage Nation. Website, michaelsavage.com, all the news and less, right here on the Savage Nation. Peanut butter and jelly versus cabbage soup.
Savage. Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
now you need to listen to some of this inane audio, including former President George Bush being interviewed by his granddaughter about his love of socks.
Not that portrait unveiling some unexpected headlines and an even more unexpected comparison.
So your socks have been making headlines.
Well, I like a colorful sock. So I'm a sock man. This is a modest pair here today. Subdued, you might say.
And they've been comparing your socks to that of Justin Bieber.
Beeb? Is he a sock man?
He evidently is a sock man just like you.
I don't much about the Bieber. Never see him. I don't know what he does.
Have you ever heard his song?
No. How's it go?
Baby, 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 oh.
Is that his song?
You know it.
I don't think I'd like it.
No, you like it.
Now listen to Texas Senator John Cornyn grilling Attorney General Eric Holder and calling for his resignation. That's a big one.
Your department blocks states from implementing attempts to combat voter fraud. In short, you violated the public trust, in my view, and by failing and refusing to perform the duties of your office. So, Mr. Attorney General, it's more with sorrow than regret than anger that I would say that you leave me no alternative but to join those that call upon you to resign your office. Americans deserve an attorney general who will be honest with them. They deserve an attorney general who will uphold the basic standards of political independence and accountability. You've proven time and time again, sadly, that you're unwilling to do so. The American people deserve better. They deserve an attorney general who is accountable and independent. They deserve an attorney general who puts justice before politics. And it's my sincere hope that President Obama will replace you with someone who is up to that challenge.
Now, listen to this idiot, the executive director of the Congressional Black Caucus, saying that the word cool can be deemed a racial word when applied to Obama. Oh, my God. Insanity.
Do you ever listen to the conservative radio shows talk about him?
Not the radio shows. I do see TV shows every now and then.
How much of that do you think is race-based?
A lot. I do.
What evidence do you have that it's about race?
I think
race?
That some of the language that's used, I'll give you an example. There's an ad talking about the president is too cool. Is he too cool? And it's this music that reminds me of, you know, some of the blaxploitation films from the 70s playing in the background, him with his sunglasses. And to me, it was just very racially charged. They weren't asking if Bush was too cool, but yet people said that that's the number one person they love to have a beer with. So if that's not cool, I don't know what is. But I just think even cool, the term cool, could in some ways be deemed racial in a sense.
Even the Washington Post is calling it a car wreck at the White House. They ask, could it get any worse? Texas father kills man trying to sexually assault his daughter. The grand jury will decide whether the killing was justified. Trickle-down tyranny, number two on Wall Street Journal's bestseller list. Trickle-down tyranny at your bookstores now. Trickle-down tyranny. The district attorney who never charged Sandusky with rape has been missing since 2005. Armed Russian police raid homes of anti-Putin activists. The crackdown is described as a return to the days of Stalin. The state of Florida is suing Obama and his agency called Holder to stop voter fraud. Apparently, the federal government is suing the state of Florida to make sure voter fraud occurs. Old Babs Walters, the old Harridan, get Syrian dictator's mouthpiece into Columbia University. That's a twofer, isn't it? Barbara Walters and Columbia. Government pension cutbacks spread across the country. Leak mystery, who told what to whom. Authorities investigate lungs found on L.A. sidewalk.
Yeah.
Commerce secretary to take medical leave after two car accidents. Not charged with hit and run. They claim he had a seizure. We wouldn't know, would we? Eagle Scout challenges Boy Scouts' anti-gay policy. Obama's early Chicago rise brought African-American foreclosures and bankruptcies. No kidding. Savage to Romney, B. Scott Walker. Savage damnation, Obama administration unmasked in Trickle-Down Tyranny, a how-to guide on fixing our national disaster. On the bottom of michaelsavage.com, working our way up, ex-state worker jailed for food stamp scam. She set up a plan for her boyfriend and four fictitious children. Go, girl, go. Take a look at that sad woman in China disfigured by 7 tumors on her face. Take a look at what could happen to you. Oh, do give it a rest, Madonna. At 53, all you're exposing is your desperation, says Liz Jones, and is she ever right? It's time for Madonna to open a pizza stand in Brooklyn. All this and more right here on The Savage Nation.
Wait, hang on before I go.
I read an article on how the economy has affected consumers and that customer service and return policies are really now the main reasons people choose to do business with a company. Case in point, it's time to replace the blinds, shades, or shutters in your home. You take your measurements, you head off to the big home improvement store. Sure, they take your order. But when your window coverings arrive, you find out they don't fit because the schmuck from the plumbing department gave you bad advice. You trudge back and they tell you, sorry, no returns on custom orders. Not at blinds.com. Not at blinds.com. See, even if you mismeasure, which almost never happens, they'll remake it for free. Who does that? There are also over 100 real experts in-house happy to assist. Get free color samples, free shipping, and no sales tax in most states. Plus, expert installers if you need one. That's blinds.com, where their prices absolutely crush home improvement store prices. Blinds.com, I've used them for blinds. I love them, blinds.com. This is the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Mobile, Alabama. Ann, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Michael. I just wanted to let you know, I recently went to the local animal shelter and adopted a little puppy to play with my chihuahua named Lou. And I got to thinking about a name for it, and I thought you might get a kick out of it. My new puppy's name is, and I can't say it with the inflection that you do, but it makes me smile every time I call him. His name is, that's all. Because you say it a lot.
Oh, when I say that's all, that way, you call your dog that's all?
That's all. And you would not, you probably would.
It's funny, you know, it's a funny thing. I have an Italian friend in San Francisco who loves when I say that's all. He loves it. When I go in his restaurant, he says, I love the way you say that's all. He loves that phrase too. Somehow it translates better to people who speak with a different regional accent or a different national accent.
Exactly. I can't pull it off because I'm from the South. I can't pull it off like you do, but...
Well, wait a minute. You mean in the Steel Magnolia vernacular, there's no equivalent term?
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, I can say it like when I call him, you know. That's all. I mean,
No. What I mean is, let's say you're speaking to another Magnolia down there in your territory, right? And you make a sweeping statement about something. Don't you have something that you can conclude it with that's definitive along the lines of that's all, but in your own, in your own jargon?
Well, when you're calling your dog, you know, a lot of people will come up to me and they're not really sure that I'm calling the dog.
Oh, you mean when you start in the street saying that's all, they don't know what you're talking about?
Exactly. So when I'm approached about his name,
this is a funny. It's actually a funny call. When you actually think about it, it's almost like who's on first.
Exactly.
Well,
exactly.
Anyway, you must live alone. Is that it? That's the that's.
How did you know that?
Anyone who would name a dog after a throwaway phrase of Michael Savage has to live alone.
No, it's not a throwaway phrase, Michael. It's your signature. Nobody else can say it like you.
That's funny. Hey, maybe that's going to be my autobiography call. That's all! Exclamation point with my finger. With my finger pointing at the audience. That's all.
That's it, Michael. That's it. And one more story. Just real quick. Hey, this was a couple.
Probably stolen already by Rush Limbaugh. Before I finish the sentence. Yeah. What else is on your mind? Well, Ann, I'm going to send you a copy of Trickle Down Tyranny for you, and that's all. Would you like that?
Oh, yes. Thank you, Michael, but I have to tell you this.
All right, that's all. That's all. 1-800-449-8255. That's all. I gave the lady a book. That's all. Let's move on here. That's all. You know, I have another pet peeve to avoid politics for another few seconds. And I don't have any stake in the product. I've never seen anything like this. It's ruined It ruined one of my cars once. It took a year to get the smell out. I'm talking about an expensive car. The dealer almost destroyed my car with it. Now it happened to another car. I have a house in Florida. I leave a car there. The guy takes it into a car wash, comes out. It smells like a rental from 1965 in Staten Island. Like an old Chrysler that someone, like a smoker was in. No one smokes. It was a new car. Destroyed the leather. You can't get the stink out. We don't know what to do. Nobody knows what to do. We got to hire the cannibal to go in there and boil the leather. If they let the cannibal out of prison for a few days, maybe I can hire him to, maybe he has some secret method of I never saw anything like this. Who uses this stuff? How did this happen? That idiot dealers hype products on car leather. Where'd this come from? It stinks, number one. Number two, you slide around on it. What's the point of getting leather if you slip on it? Do you know what I'm talking about? Again, you know, no disrespect intended, but I'm allowed to give you my personal opinion. I never saw a product like this. How did they oversell this? This like goes back to the days of fresh frozen. You'd go in a restaurant in the 70s, and you'd say about, is it fresh? Yes, sir, it's fresh frozen. I remember when my son was a little kid, and I'd go in a restaurant. I'd say, I'd like the fish. Is it fresh? Yes, sir, it's fresh frozen. That's like try almonds with everything. When the almond raisers were selling you, it made you had an almond with everything. All we ask is that you eat a pound a week. I don't know, whatever. Wherever you went, almondine this, almondine that, wherever you turned, there were almonds sprinkled on everything. There were almonds on peanuts. I never saw anything like it doing an almond push. It's the same with fresh frozen. Now it's armor. Everywhere you turn, it's armor all on every car. It's from the age when your uncle, you know, had a DeSoto with rotten seats. They would spray a dashboard that looked like it was going to crack in the sun to peddle it to some immigrant. Now they put it on a new car. You can't go in the thing. You could die in the car. How do you get that stink out? No one knows what to do. She took the car back to the car wash. Already the lawyers are involved. They know what they did. Las Vegas, Nevada. J.D., welcome to the program. You're on the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, thanks. What I missed you, I haven't heard you in a long time, bring back red diaper doper babies. It applies so much to the Obama's administration, himself included, and all those other...
Absolutely. Obama is admittedly a marijuana head, at least when he was younger, so he's a red diaper doper baby, and now he's running the country. Look who he has on Air Force One. A rock and roll musician, John Bon Jovi. This is what America has descended to. That a rock and roller is put on an airplane, held up as a role model. You hear?
The whole White House, that's all he has is rock and rollers and all the throwbacks.
Yeah, he turned the White House into the Red House. Okay, you can quote me on that. It's gone from the White House to the Red Diaper Doper Baby House under Barack Hussein Obama. RDDB, Red Diaper Doper Baby. I hope a woman from Louisiana doesn't call and say, Mike, I just named my dog Red Diaper Doper Baby. That's a tough one. Come here, Red Diaper Doper Baby. Come here, RDDB. Now, RDDB would work for a dog, but not Red Diaper Doper Baby. Thanks for the tip. For those of you who don't know what a Red Diaper Doper Baby is, think of a Barack Obama. A Red Diaper Baby was well known in my day. I did not coin that phrase. Those were kids whose parents were hardcore communists / socialists / Emma Goldman anarchists in the slums of New York, largely immigrant families, who sent their little children to commie camps in the Pocono Mountains, and mainly the Poconos, where they were inculcated in Alinsky-style behavior. And they were known as red diaper babies. Then along came the 60s, where you added the fuel of marijuana to the diaper baby, and you had a red diaper doper baby, which was a particularly malignant form of a red diaper baby. It was sort of a red diaper baby on marijuana. They became psychotic anti-Americans. Then they metastasized it into everything American was bad. They hated the flag. They hated the country. They hated the father, the mother, the Holy Ghost. They hated the church. They hated Jesus. They hated Mary. They hated Moses. They hated Abraham. They hated everything about everything decent in the country. That's a red diaper doper baby. And that's what you have now running America. If you examine this government, you can't argue that it's not run by red diaper doper babies because you'd be wrong. That's all. I'm getting a sore throat. Victim's head still missing in Canada dismemberment case. Authorities say video of the killing posted online shows Luca Rocco Magnotta engaged in sexual acts involving body parts, and that it includes evidence of cannibalism. Hey, it's his lifestyle, man. The ACLU had argued that Luca Rocco Magnotta, although it was detestable to the average Christian, the sexual acts with body parts from a dead person was simply a lifestyle choice, and we have no right to impose our judgmentalism upon him. I mean, that's the way the red diaper doper baby looks at things like this. So although to you it may be repugnant to have sex with a body part that's been cut off a person, you have to look at it from the point of view of the cannibal and from his background and his experiences and the things he liked, his own lifestyle choices, cutting off a person's head and having sex with the head after. That's his choice. Now, it may be illegal because you're an uptight, you know, Christian or something like that, stuck on biblical ideas, but we're living in a new age. Hey, man, loosen up. Let it go. Luca Rocco Magnotta. I mean, the ACLU themselves wouldn't engage in such behavior, but hey, it's different heads for different schmeds. I mean, what can I say to you? Or shall I say different heads on different meds? I mean, let's look at it that way. Only one al-Qaeda leader left. The terrorist group behind the 9/11 attacks is now mostly out of business. Ayman al-Zawahiri is the last leader of any consequence, full story. Oh, I pray Obama gets him. I pray that they smash him with a drone. I can't stand looking at his filthy beard one more day. I pray that they get him with a drone. I pray. That's my only prayer now is one more. One more to go. Venus transit the sun. Oh, give Obama credit where credit is due. Why, you're not allowed to say something good? Bush didn't get these guys.
Savage.
Eric Holder, Attorney General, obviously corrupt to most, left-wing fanatic, never qualified to be Attorney General. He was forced to testify on Capitol Hill today. And they asked him about gun running to Mexico called Fast and Furious. They asked Holder about the national security leaks, etc. They were covered up by Charles Schumer and the other illegitimate Democrats who filibustered basically with questions about anything except these issues. Right now on the Savage Nation to talk about this is KT McFarlane, who has held national security posts in three different Republican administrations. KT, welcome back to the Savage Nation.
Michael, it's great to talk to you.
So as a national security expert yourself, how much damage could these leaks to the New York Times cause?
These leaks are really significant. Now, the people who tell you, oh, it's no big deal, administrations always are a leaky ship. I've been there and done that. I've been in three Republican administrations. And yes, leaks happen all the time. But this is really different. These are the most secret, top secret intelligence information we have about the sources we've used to do operations, the methods we've used to gather intelligence, and how we've conducted our operations. And it'll have a ripple effect on our ability to conduct intelligence operations going forward. For example, foreign intelligence agencies look at us now, particularly the Brits and the Saudis, and they look at us and say, you guys can't keep a secret. You got to go blab it to the front pages of the papers. Why should we cooperate with you, share our intelligence with you, if you're going to compromise our sources? The second thing that happens is that anybody who's thinking of becoming an informant, anybody on the inside of a terrorist organization who's tempted to sell out and inform for the United States or for another intelligence agency, he's got to say, I can't possibly do that. The minute I help the Americans, my name will be published, or at least enough information about me so that al-Qaeda can figure out who I am, and they'll eliminate me, just like they did with the man who was probably the guy who helped the second underwear bomber. He was a British national with Saudi birthright, and he was working in the inner cells of al-Qaeda in Yemen. Those are enough clues for al-Qaeda in Yemen to look around and figure out who that was. And then the third thing that happens is our adversaries know how we do things. They know how we plotted to get bin Laden. They knew how our intelligence operation worked because we told them step by step. And then most particularly harmful is the intelligence on our cyber attacks against Iran. The Iranians were scratching their heads trying to figure out why their computers weren't working until we told them that it was us in combination with the Israelis, and it was a long-range plan to infiltrate their computer systems. Now, that tells them an awful lot, not just about what we've done, but how to protect themselves going forward.
Do you believe that someone close to the president or the president himself might have leaked this sensitive information to the New York Times for political gain? And of course, we know what should happen to that tyrannous person.
Well, I think President Obama has come out pretty forcefully and said he was offended that anyone would even suggest it. So I'll take him at his word. I don't think it was President Obama. But I do think that it was somebody on the inside, and maybe it was several people on the inside at the very highest levels. You know, look, when I was in the White House in the Nixon and Ford administrations, I was there during Watergate. And this kind of information, this very sensitive stuff, this isn't some low-level intelligence agency person. It's not some mid-level special operations guy at the Pentagon. These are the highest level of people. And even the New York Times writer, David Sanger, who wrote the story about the Stuxnet virus, he said he had talked to over a dozen current and former high-level Obama administration and White House personnel. They're telling you that this is the group they've talked to. And if you look at these stories, they're not third, secondhand. These are direct quotes of meetings that took place in the Oval Office or in the White House Situation Room. And in those meetings, there were a handful of people. Even if that handful of people had run home, run back to their offices, and told another handful of people, you're still talking about a very small universe.
In reality, how do you prevent this from happening again in the future without the press screaming that it's a violation of the First Amendment?
Well, what they need to do is find out who has done the leaking. That, more than anything, will put a chilling effect on anybody else who's contemplating this kind of leaks. Now, the Attorney General has appointed two people, two Justice Department people, to be look into the situation, to be investigators. And we'll see what they come up with, or nothing. If they come up with nothing, or if they stall for time, or if they say, look, you know, we couldn't find anybody who's doing the leaking, then what that tells me is there's a cover-up going on. Because there are people who have leaked. There are people, my guess is, there are people in the Obama administration who have already hired lawyers to help get them through this if they're ever accused of doing these things. So I think the single best thing you could do to prevent future leaks of this sort is have an investigation and find out who these people are and bring them to justice. You know, these are people who released highly classified information that has endangered the security of the United States, information that's probably gotten people killed. Now, maybe not Americans, but are the people who have worked with us and who have been our allies in the intelligence world. And this is something also that it's not a political thing, at least from the people who are criticizing the leaks. It's Republicans and Democrats. In fact, Senator Feinstein of California, a very well-respected woman, Democrat, in the United States Senate. She knows what she's talking about. She's the one who has come out and said she's never seen anything like this, and there's got to be an investigation to get to the bottom of it.
Today, Texas Senator John Cornyn called for Attorney General Holder to resign. Of course, you think he should, but will he is the question.
Well, he serves at the pleasure of the president, so, you know, there's only one person who can make the decision of whether Holder should stay or go, and that's the president of the United States. And if the president has confidence in him, there's nothing anyone else can do about it. I do think, though, that the attorney general has had a pattern of really what we used to call, when I was at the Pentagon, bury him in the paperwork. The fast and furious investigations, the attorney general has been dumping reams of paper on the congressional committees, knowing full well that the congressional committees just, they don't have nearly enough staff people to go through those tens of thousands of pieces of paper. In those tens of thousands of pieces of paper, there's nothing about fast and furious and who authorized it. And so I think what the attorney general is doing in that case is playing for time. Playing for time that maybe people will just give up and forget about the investigation. Maybe they'll push it along far enough past the election so that it won't have a political fallout for the president. But if that's how he's handled the fast and furious investigations, how is he going to handle the intelligence leaks? I think that it's a bellwether that this is an attorney general who really is one of the most politicized attorney generals that I've ever seen.
How can they hold Holder accountable for his lack of action on gun running to Mexico?
Somebody's got to be held accountable. He's now going to be probably found in contempt of Congress, and that's a serious thing. Will there be an investigation into Holder himself? You know, Congress now is going to be the actor in all this. Are they going to pursue Holder personally? Are they going to pursue obstruction for not giving them the documents they had requested about Fast and Furious, or are they going to turn their attention to these intelligence leaks and investigate those? I think the intelligence leaks is a far bigger problem because it really is a systematic effort. There's not just one example of a leak, but there are time after times. All the information that came out about the bin Laden raid, all the information that came out about the second underwear bomber, all the information that came out about President Obama and the drone strikes and how he personally is mulling over who should be assassinated and who should not. And most dangerously and most importantly, I think, are the leaks about the cyber weapons that we've been using against the Iranian nuclear program. Far better. There's plenty of credit to go around. The president and his people did not need to pat themselves on the back. You know, he's the guy that got bin Laden. It doesn't get any more important and better than that. This is all so unnecessary to leak this level of information that I just think that somebody will have to be held accountable sooner or later.
KT McFarland, thanks for joining us today on The Savage Nation.
Thanks, Michael. Great to be with you. My website is ktmcfarland.com.
This is The Savage Nation.
Savage.
I was going to also talk about commencement speakers, because no commencement speaker in America is a conservative that I know of. They're all far-left fanatics and usually illiterate morons. I've never seen anything like it. I mean, I'm very controversial. I'm a brilliant man, a scholar, many books to my name. All right, but put me aside. There are people who are conservatives who are brilliant, who should be commencement speakers. Instead, they're brainwashed by the lowest vermin in America. I've never seen anything like it. And by the way, that includes Sotomayor, who has no qualifications whatsoever to be a Supreme Court justice. If you actually heard that woman speak at a commencement address like a week ago, you would not believe what's on the Supreme Court. Illiterate, no brains, no intelligence, no humor, no insights, nothing. Nothing. There's been a revolution of the stupid in the United States of America. You talk about madness. You talk about madmen. I was going to talk about the dumbest commencement. You know, there should be lawsuits by conservative groups of students on campuses across America. Lawsuits demanding equal treatment in terms of commencement speakers, where 50% of the speakers must be known conservatives or they sue the university. The universities have been hijacked from top to bottom by these communists. So why don't the students sue them and say, we want a conservative by this name or that name, or we're suing you? You have no right to jam this garbage down our throat. Black Panthers are speaking. Jailbirds are speaking. You pick the anti-American. They're speaking. So you talk about madness and madmen. I was watching Mad Men the other day, to shift to another mad topic. At first, I was angry at Matthew Weiner for disappointing, and he made it a little too much into a chick flick for my taste. But this segment was so good, I was shocked. And one of the most tragically comedic scenes I've ever seen in the history of film was done by him. He didn't write it, by the way. It was like a husband and wife team with a French name. He gets the credit. There's an English character in Mad Men. A Mad Men set in the 50s, early 60s in Madison Avenue, right? That's what it's about if you don't watch it on AMC. So, January Jones is in it, and they puffed her up for the pregnancy, blah, blah, blah. But there's a character in the ad agency, one of the partners, he's an Englishman, superbly played by this character. Everybody loves him. The guy is incredible. The penultimate British gentleman, with the driest sense of humor. And you really got to like this man as a character. Everyone likes him. So he gets slammed into a problem by the British tax authorities. They want $6,000 from him. He doesn't have it. So he embezzles money from the firm, thinking it's going to be a short loan of 15 days. He signs another partner's name to a check. He takes the money, or else he would have lost his U.S. citizenship, his visa. His lawyer tells him he's got to pay it right away. So he embezzles it around Christmas time, thinking he's going to get a Christmas bonus because he knows he's a partner. He knows that there's enough money for that. The other partners vote that there should be no bonus, so he's stuck with the embezzlement, but nobody knows about it yet. In this segment, he gets caught by the nasty character, Don Draper. And Don calls him in and he says, blah, 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 you forged my signature. And the guy, I didn't do it, then he did do it. Then he starts to cry, which is very sad to see any man cry, truthfully. Especially a guy with that level of dignity. You know, this is a big deal. And he does. He says, I'm going to lose everything. They're going to deport me. And Don says, I don't care, basically. He says, either you resign or I'll let the partners know. He said, because you stole money, you embezzled money. And he said, and you forged my name. And the guy said, it was only for 15 days, Don. Don is heartless. Typical heartless Madison Avenue creep. Next scene, the guy, the British guy, his wife buys a brand new Jaguar, a 59 or a 60 XKE convertible, I believe, a British Racing Green, as a surprise. And he doesn't have the money for it. He can't believe it. He doesn't know what to do, right? He's just resigned. She doesn't know it. He comes home drunk and blah, blah, blah. So the next scene that night, he goes into the Jaguar, takes a garden hose, attaches it to the exhaust of the Jaguar, closes the windows, puts the hose into the car and tries to start it. And lo and behold, the Jaguar doesn't start and he can't commit suicide. I mean, you talk about tragic comedy. It was astounding. You sort of knew it was going to happen once he started it because I owned cars like that. And you hear the, you know, they were famous. The Lucas Electric System. I only wish them on Chinese rockets, the Lucas Electric System. I only wish that the Chinese still used Lucas Electric for their rockets or their ships and their airplanes. Nothing worked with Lucas Electric in those days. So the car doesn't start and this poor English guy can't commit suicide, right? But you knew it wasn't over. But that scene was astounding in Mad Men. Later on, they find him, he hung himself by his tie. It's horrible. Just horrible. When Don Draper realizes that he killed him, the look on his face, you see what a skunk he really is, this character. You know what a no-good Nick he is. And Blondie, the wife, is just as bad. But there's other elements of the show I didn't care for. It was too much of a chick flick. I don't want to go into details. The daughter getting the first time... I could have done without it. It was for women, really. It was very touching. But really, as for a man watching it, it was not something you really want to dwell on. But okay, it was treated... The female audience, mainly women, watch these things. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? Bilderbergers, cars, ukuleles, growths on my pectoral muscles. What else is in there? Victim's head still missing. Only one Al-Qaeda leader left. You know, this is the pastiche of my mind, the geography of my brain. Let's see. Soros spends $400 million on open society, education, and social action. Me? Up to me? A Soros, orange jumpsuit. FBI immediate, orange jumpsuit, handcuffs. George Soros has given more than $400 million to colleges and universities, including money to most prominent institutions in the United States. Now you understand why only... Communists are invited to speak at George Soros-funded universities. The Koch brothers were vilified by the American political left for donating almost $7 million to universities, while their beloved Soroses, their Soroses, gave more than 50 times that amount to the same type of groups without one comment from the vermin on the left. It's frightening that they can do this. Vilify the Koch brothers for giving money and say nothing about this rat, this anti-American rat Soros. I've never seen anything like this. If only J. Edgar Hoover were alive. God, where is he now that we need him? God, if only J. Edgar Hoover were alive now that we need him. 1-800-449-8255. I gave you already everything. I gave you already everything I have. There's nothing left. Overstocked, armor all, cannibals, Wisconsin, a brush with death. How much more can I give you today? There's nothing left in me. I threw it all at you. Like nothing. It's like bad relatives on the show today. Like relatives on Prozac. I'm not going to take calls on how to descent my car. Drop the call. I know how to descent it. Rip the leather out and start again. Take the car back and tell the dealer to deal with it. Pittsburgh, PA, Leah, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Oh, hi, Dr. Savage. I just wanted to tell you that there is a bright spot from this Obama administration. I was... forced to cut back like everybody else, and my cable went, and my internet went, and I went to talk radio, and that's how I found you. And I'm so happy.
The best things in life are free, Leah.
That's right, and I tell everybody, and people around here, half of them don't know your name, but they do now. Everybody I see, I try to engage at least one person a day in a political conversation. And I always say, listen to Dr. Savage, 6 o'clock, 104.7.
Well, you're getting a free copy to go with your impoverished status, and I feel bad for you. It's not a pretty situation to have the locusts of the federal government pick your pocket like this. But Leah was sending you a copy of Trickle Down Tyranny. I would send you Trickle Up Poverty, but okay, I don't want to, you know, do a parody of a parody. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. You want to talk about Mad Men now? Should we devolve? We can do that. Play some rock and roll.
When I go back to my little grass shack in Calicacrawa.
So do I. I want to be with all the commies and all the wahinis. That makes sense. Wait, play that again. I want to go back to my little grass shack in Kealakeakua, Hawaii. I want to be
my little grass shack
with all the commies. Okay.
I want to be with all the commies and wahinis.
I want to be with all the commies. I knew it. That's why I left there. I couldn't take another day of it.
Savage.